You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you come back night after night, Monday through Friday, right here. You'll be glad you did as well. Now, a couple of interesting things in the news. I'll get to those real quickly, but first, a couple of quick announcements. Don't forget, we have a drawing coming up on March the 2nd for all the folks who are in our members area. And all you have to do is make sure you have your name in the profile, because we'll draw by name. And in just a moment, during the first break, you'll get to see what it is that's being given away. It is a hand-woven tapestry from Urcos Island in South America, in Peru. And it's being sponsored by none other than Jerry Wills and Expeditions TV. So you want to be sure that you are all set for that, okay? It's in our members area. March the 2nd. Then we also have coming up, we're shooting for March 29th for this, a live seminar where I'll be talking about this information, God's in the Garden. And if you're interested in that, you want to be a part of that live seminar, you need to send me an email that says, yeah, I'm interested. Because once we firm up all the plans for this, I'll send an email to everyone who has emailed me to give you the details, okay? So that's how that goes. All right, now, a couple of things in the news that are pretty interesting. You're familiar with the La Brea tar pits, where they found millions of bones from the Ice Age, prehistory, mammoth bones, and all kinds of things. Well, there was an interesting thing that happened. They have made some new discoveries. An almost complete, intact mammoth skeleton has been found. But an interesting thing happened today. I was watching the news, and what I saw on the news and heard on the news was, I think it was CNN. If it wasn't CNN, it would have been Fox News. I'm back and forth between the two, monitoring what they're saying as I do work during the day. But as they were talking about it, one of the female reporters, or actually an anchor, said, they had just said, yeah, they found this great big mammoth skeleton there. And she said, yeah, and ancient North American Mayan as well. That was it. Zip. There was never anything else said about that. I'm looking at a report right now. This is Associated Press report, I believe. And let me just check that and make sure. Yes, it's by Alicia Chang, AP science writer. This report was filed an hour and 38 minutes ago. Here's what it says was found. Among the finds is a near-intact mammoth skeleton, a skull of an American lion, bones of a saber-tooth, and bones of saber-toothed cats, dire wolves, bison, horses, ground sloths, and other mammals. Not another word about finding a Mayan skeleton at the La Brea tar pits. If you heard that today, at some point tonight when you call in to talk with our guest, Jose Escamilla, you let me know if you heard that as well. We'll be back right after this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. Now, he's been with us before. He's someone you're familiar with. And really, I don't need to introduce him, except for the fact that each and every day we have people who, for whatever reasons, wake up to the genre of the strange and unexplained and become interested in it. So it's all new to them. So Jose Escamilla has been editing film and video for well over 20 years. And one of the projects he worked on, he's worked on a lot of documentaries and things like that, but he had an educational show called The Educational Dinosaur. It was a cartoon series, and it had such names involved as Ruth Buzzy, Brenda Vaccaro, Ed Begley Jr., Dr. Joyce Brothers, Tom Bosley, Nell Carter, and a bunch of others. He's also appeared on television shows such as The Learning Channel, Geraldo Rivera, Hard Copy, Sightings, Encounters, The Other Side, Inside Edition, the BBC in London, and he's been on major news networks as well, ABC, NBC, CBS News. Jose Escamilla joins me and you this evening to talk about some new projects that he's involved in. Jose, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. I love it. I'm glad to be back on your show.
Well, that is excellent. I'm glad you're back on the show.
I've got to tell you something. You know, all the TV shows I've done, I've had Bill O'Reilly mention my name twice.
Well, in a good light?
Yeah. Before he got to be a Bill O'Reilly, the total jerk that he is on Fox TV, he was on Inside Edition, and he mentioned my name twice.
Wow.
On Inside Edition. You know, and he was totally announcing my name, saying Jose Escamilla, Roswell UFOs, and blah 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 blah. I've got him on tape doing that, so it's really cool. It's cool, man.
It is cool.
Did it?
Yeah.
And now all I got to do is get back on O'Reilly and say, you know, come on, Bill, you were adulating me at that time. Now it's time to get brass tacks and brass knuckles. Let's bring out the truth. So hopefully we'll do it this year.
Well, we certainly will have to watch that and keep track of that, because I don't want to miss it. But look, you know, the last time you were here, you and I talked about, a lot of things, but mainly about rods. And I guess, you know, that's probably your work with that, your films that you've put out about rods, and the shows that you've been on where you talked about them. That's probably what a lot of people know you for, but that's not all that you've been doing. You've also got this new film out, this new movie called Moon Rising. And I want us to kind of talk about that this evening. You may have other projects you would like to talk about, but, you know, I was very privileged to come out to Hollywood and see the premiere of Moon Rising, and to meet you in person. And I thought that this film covered new territory, things I had not seen before. And let's just let you talk about it. What is this film about?
Well, first of all, Kevin, I was so awesomely honored to have you at my film premiere. You rock, man. We've been talking on the radio for a few years now.
Yeah.
I finally got to meet the person behind the voice, and, you know, you're just awesome. What can I say?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. What about this film? What is Moon Rising, and why did you make this film?
Okay, you know, years ago, and I mentioned it on your show was the first time I mentioned that I was going to do this film. It was about 2006, I believe. I said, Kevin, I'm going to make a movie on the moon anomalies. And it was presented on your show. You were the first person ever, really, where I mentioned what I was planning to do back in those days. And the thing is, I wanted to put together a film about the moon anomalies as never has been done before. I mean, you have to face it. Everybody, Richard Hoagland, Fred Steckling, you got all these cats that are out there putting together documentaries. Everybody has their own spin on the moon anomalies and the moon, you know, Apollo moon landings, whether they did it or not, that kind of thing. So I was looking at it in a different perspective. I said, okay, what am I going to do that no one else has ever done? And that's the way you do it as a filmmaker. You have to say, look, what am I going to do that's going to break away from the normal stuff that's out there that everyone else has already covered? And, you know, come as it may, I said, all right, here's what I'm going to do first of all. I'm going to break away from the norm. Everybody knows that, yes, they went to the moon, maybe they didn't, they faked it and all that. And I said, okay, everybody's doing this. And I go, all right, what can I bring to the table that's totally different? And that's what I searched for. While I was making a poster for my film, I decided that I didn't want to have a black and white photo as a backdrop to my movie poster. You know, Hollywood, you got to have something that presents itself that sells the picture, okay? A lot of people don't understand. I mean, I may be a UFO investigator. I may be a UFO researcher and all that. But when it comes down to brass tacks and brass knuckles, man, you got to deliver something to Hollywood that garners the attention to where they want to put you in the theater or on Sci-Fi Channel, what have you. So I said, you know what? My movie poster is going to be full color, even though most of the information I'm getting is black and white. I decided to colorize a poster, okay? Mm-hmm. Innocently enough. So what I did is I said, all right, how do I begin? I can't falsify a poster and just colorize it just at my whim. So let me get a photograph that was taken, or photographs that were taken of Earth views from 60 or 70 miles away, just like the moon photos. And I'm going to try to figure out, okay, if this gray area or dark area is colored blue, dark blue, this texture, I'm going to paint the moon dark area the same color. And what I wound up doing was just basically colorizing the moon surface as if it was the Earth's surface, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what turns out to be is suddenly all the anomalies that are right there for you on the moon became evident. They pop out right there for you. I mean, they just suddenly become evident. So this was an amazing thing for me because all of a sudden, I'm looking at the moon anomalies that I'd always looked at in black and white that suddenly revealed themselves to me in full color as if they were on Earth. And a lot of people that have looked at this stuff are going, oh my gosh, you know, all of a sudden we have full color photos of the moon that are presenting the anomalies by themselves. You know, they just pop out at you. And that's how Moon Views, which is a DVD that I put together in between the mix of doing Moon Rising, came about, because I wanted to share with everybody, look, man, this is colorized moon, man. You can actually see the anomalies right there without having to have a circle drawn or an arrow pointing to these things. They're right there in front of you, you know. Of course.
What are some of the anomalies that just popped up at you?
Of the moon. I'm just saying, all I did is I colorized the moon as if we were looking at it in full color with Earth tones.
All right, what are some of the anomalies that jumped off the page at you and really got your attention?
one of the ones was the two craters. I forget. You know, I don't know the moon. Even though I've been researching and making, you know, this film for 3 years, I still don't know the moon geographically. All right? Mm-hmm. But there are two craters that are right there that are, one is above, it's a smaller crater, the other one's larger. And when I colorized it, after I colorized it, it looks like Peru. It looks like you're flying over the mountains of Peru, the greenery, the underbrush, and everything else. But man, when you zoom in, you start seeing that the textures and the anomalies that are there, you're actually seeing depth. So that's one of my favorites. I mean, there are a lot of you know, photos that I colorized that are just my total favorites. But you know what, Kevin? What really made it incredible for me was the fact that I actually found that NASA and the USGS, which is the United States Geological Survey, they actually released full-color natural photos of the moon. I would never have known this. And a lot of people don't know this. There are photographs out there available for you to look at that detail the natural colors of the moon. All these years, for the last 50, maybe 60 years, we've been told the moon is nothing but a gray piece of rock, no color, dust, and all that crap. Guess what? NASA and the USGS have a website where you can download full-color photographs of the moon.
And what colors do they show?
I'll tell you what. The spectrum of colors that are on the moon are way beyond comprehension. And you have things existing on the moon that are not only part of the scenario. Now, this was taken in 1994 by the Clementine mission, but there are objects that are actually flying above the surface of the moon. And these objects look exactly like the objects that the STS-76 shuttle footage reveals. The tether footage, they have these things that pulsating, and they're looking like they're live corpuscular-type objects. On the moon, these things are there in the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. And I have photos of them where they are exhibiting not only the features that they are, but they are casting shadows on the surface of the moon. So you know they're flying.
What do you think they are?
Huh?
What do you think they are?
I think they're entities that exist in space and on the moon. And have existed. NASA knows about it. Our military knows. Our government knows. I don't know if our presidents know. Our presidents have to be the most dumbest people on the planet if they don't realize what's going on. I know the Bush family is totally tied into it because they're part of the major cover-up. All right? And sorry, man, I'll call them as I see them. They're a major part of what's being kept from the American and the world public.
Why do you suspect, when you think about this cover-up, and lots of people have talked about the cover-up, why do you suspect that there would be a cover-up? I mean, here's what I'm getting at. Before you answer the question, let me fill in a blank here. Here's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So what if there's life on the moon? Why does that need to be covered up? So what if there's life on Mars? Why does that need to be covered up? What's the big, bad secret that they're keeping from us?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that so what if there is no God? So what if there is no Jesus? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, people right now, you could talk to your next-door neighbor who could be a devout Christian. You could talk to the next-door neighbor who's a devout Catholic, and you could ask them, does life exist other than us? They're going to say, no, God is the omnis being. We worship God. God is the almighty. Well, guess what, folks? What if there's a civilization that's living on the moon that has been observing us for millions of years, thousands of years of our existence, that know the answers about your religious beliefs? I mean, what if your religious belief is a farce? What are you going to do about it? When you find out that there's an entity or a civilization that lives on the other side of the moon, that lives on Mars, that has been observing us and has been interacting with your own government officials, okay, because you're stupid. You are not given the information. Our government is not going to tell you the information. They're going to keep you in chaos. Right now, our biggest worry is, oh, my gosh, the economy is messed up. Guess what? The puppeteers that control you have all the answers, all right?
Well, look, here's the deal.
It's way beyond just, you know, being a civilization that knows it. We don't know crap.
Well, we don't. You're right. We don't know. But a lot of what we don't know is because we've chosen to be ignorant. Because there's lots of information out there that people, it's available. There needs to be more information. But there's a ton of information out in the public domain that's available, and people simply don't want to take the time to know. Now, let me give you an example. You said, what if there is a civilization on the moon that's been watching us for all this time? Well, see, for those Christians and for Jews, both, because both in the Old and in the New Testament, it talks about a race of extraterrestrials called the Watchers. For people that are suddenly surprised when they hear that UFOs are coming up out of the water, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it talks about a race of angels who live under the water and whose job it is to stay there until they're called to duty, and then they come out. And, I mean, that's in there. That's already in the script. And it's just because people are believing what they've been told rather than reading for themselves. And it's because that's part of it. And, Jose, it's also because when they do read it, they say that's just mythology.
I know. And, you know, what does the word mythology represent? What does the word mythology represent?
Well, I think it means history.
Yeah. And I've got to tell you, Kevin, I have one of my best friends who's a camera guy. You probably met him. He was at the event. He's a Christian. Okay? Dead heart, freaking upside down Christian. He's a born again and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Bob. I'm going to say this.
I tell you what, we're into a break. If you'll hang on to that, we'll catch that story on the other side of the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And we are back. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. Now, Jose, you were about to give us an example. You were about to tell us a story about your cameraman. Hang on a second. Let me push the right buttons, and then we can hear you.
He's a devout Christian.
There we go.
He believes that George W. Bush is like, you know, the savior of the planet. That's what they've been led to believe. I've told the guy, I said, dude, you know, George W. Bush knows much about God as I do. You know, I believe in God. I believe in the supreme being and everything else. But before George W. Bush talks to God, I mean, there's no way. He's full of crap, all right? God told him to go kill innocent men, women, and children. And then they have...
Let's stick with the things having to do with like UFOs and the moon and so forth. How is that going to shake your cameraman's faith?
Well, the bottom line is, you know, the cameraman was there when I presented my goods, all right? Mm-hmm. And Kevin, you were there.
Yeah.
I've had buyers that are interested in, you know, releasing my film worldwide, putting it on Sci-Fi Channel and everything else. They said, Jose, we cannot sell your movie if you're going to include the Bush family Nazi connection, even though it's real and it's true. We cannot sell it to the Sci-Fi Channel, the History Channel. So you have to take all that crap out of there, and then we might be able to sell it. You're already making waves slamming NASA, you know, for the way they've lied to the American public. We'll try to sell that, but believe me, we're not going to sell your film if you got the Bush-Nazi connection, which is fact.
You know, well, and look, let me say something about that.
I back it up with factual evidence. I don't put nothing on the screen.
Let me interject something there about the Bush-Nazi connection. The fact is, it's a matter of historical record that George Herbert Walker Bush's father was a supporter, financially, a backer, of the Nazis. I mean, that's a matter of historical fact, is it not?
Straight up. It's in the National Archives. Adolf Hitler, they funded Adolf Hitler. It was not only Prescott Bush, but it was also General Motors, Ford Motor Company, IG Farben, which was all the big drug... Oh, I'm sorry. The drug dealers.
Yeah, okay. We're on AM, FM, and shortwave, so you have to conform to the FCC's language rules, all right?
Come on, man. It's all fact. It's anybody with any ounce of intelligence can go to the National Archives. It's all there. It's not a lie. I don't make the stuff up. You know, I just present the goods as they are. It's right there. Everything I do, I back it up with fact. I don't need to lie.
Okay. Probably. Their issue with the Nazi connection is probably that Prescott Bush, I mean, that is a matter of historical fact that he was a financial backer for Adolf Hitler. But they probably, you know, don't want that to carry over into George Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush, probably saying that they are not Prescott. I mean, wouldn't you say that's probably their issue?
No. Let's set the record straight. In 1990, George Herbert Walker Bush, April 4th, 1990, I believe is the date. Correct me if I'm wrong. On the New York Times, he made this statement: "Let's forgive the Nazi criminals let's forget the Nazis for their criminal acts." In other words, he was saying, "Hey, we ought to forgive the Nazis for what they did to the Jewish people, for the genocide they committed." This is George Herbert Walker Bush.
I remember when that came out, there was quite a stir about that.
The New World Order to become into effect. Mm-hmm. The New World Order is not a George W. Bush initiation. This was Hitler's dream, okay? And I'm going to tell you something, Kevin.
All right, now, but now...
1938, 1939, 1940, Prescott Bush, the head Nazi financier, and IG Farben, General Motors, Ford Motor Company, I mean... Come on, let's put it out in the open. They wanted to overthrow our country, the United States. They wanted to become a Nazi state. They were ready to overthrow our country. And this is in National Archives, man. I don't make this stuff up.
All right, but let me ask you a question.
And become a Nazi freaking state. When you see George W. Bush Jr. waving to people, he's not waving, he's hailing Hitler. Give me a break.
All right, I've got a question that I think people deserve to hear an answer to. How is that connected to Moon Rising? How is it connected to NASA?
Okay, first of all, and you saw my film,
yeah,
which I've had to edit out this stuff. Eventually, Kevin, I'm going to come out with the director's cut, underground version. But what happened was the CIA... which was run in those days by the Allen Dulles brothers. Allen Dulles, who, incidentally, became the head of the Warren Commission report on the JFK assassination. Allen Dulles was a Wall Street lawyer. Okay, they are part of this whole shebang. All right, Allen Dulles and George Herbert Walker Bush and Prescott Bush all were part of the whole scenario. Well, they brought in all the Nazi war criminals,
Yeah, I think that was called Project Paperclip.
They put them. They gave them like $150,000 to exist here. They put them in the high command of NASA. These are war criminals. These are guys that did genocide on Jewish people. Of course, the Jewish people are not going to make waves about it because, for some reason, they've allowed this to happen, or they don't know about it. But you know what? I know about it. You know about it. So NASA was run by Nazi people. There was a black guy that said, you know what? I used to go to work every day. I'd get on the elevator, and I'd come onto the third floor, and the first thing I would see was a Nazi symbol right there, man. Nazi swastika when I'd get on the third floor. And he was a lesser of all the people that worked there. So, you know, Nazi... All right, it was run by German freaking Nazi war criminals, and that's where it's been.
I think everyone is aware of Project Paperclip.
In keeping all the information away from us. Why? Because they're oil men, okay? George W. Bush and his dad, George Herbert Walker Bush, are oil men. People forget, man. Or they're stupid. People are basically stupid in general. And you know what?
Well, I don't think so. I think they're basically ignorant.
Huh?
I don't think they're stupid. I think they're basically ignorant.
They're dumb as hell, man.
I think they're ignorant of a lot of facts.
Well, stupid is or stupid does, as Forrest Gump used to say. But you know what? A lot of American people are stupid. Dumb. All right? Here you have George Herbert Walker Bush, who has the Zapata Oil Company, was involved in killing John F. Kennedy. They know that. We all know that. I mean, come on. They're the ones that run the economy. They're oil men. When the oil prices go up, who benefits? Follow the money. All right? I mean, it's really stupid. People
all right,
stupid.
But now let's go back, though, and let's keep it tied to your film. Okay?
Yeah.
How... Other than the fact that there are Nazis that did go to work for NASA, and there's no question about that. It was called Project Paperclip. No question.
Is deep tied with the Nazi regime. Bottom line is this, Kevin. The moon, the technology that NASA has absconded from back-engineered UFO technology and everything else, right now we don't have an oil crisis. Oil crisis could be put out the window. We have technologies right now that NASA's sitting on, okay, that would annihilate oil. I mean, we don't need to use oil. We have technologies that NASA's sitting on that we could, you know, progress from. But it's being held on and suppressed by the Bush family and everyone else. And people can call me stupid. They can say I'm anti-Bush. I don't care how you call it. If you go down and look at the National Archives and the records, it's all there in plain sight.
Well, yeah, I think it. Whenever we say that, you know, the Bush family is sitting on this technology,
they're not. They're actually just puppets to the actual people that really control everything else. So, bottom line is, when you go to the moon aspect, we've always been told that the moon is a gray, desolate piece of rock, you know, with craters and impact craters and all that stuff. Guess what? There's other things happening on the moon. When I found this stuff from the USGS and JPL, the full-color photos of the moon, my gosh, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. It was teeming with life as far as it was in 1994 when the Clementine mission took photos of it. There were 1.8 million photos, of which I've only downloaded close to maybe 1,000 full-color photos.
And when you say it's teeming with life, Jose, what kind of life are we talking about?
Other than us. When you look at the photos, Kevin, and you've seen the photos, you've seen some of the stuff in the film,
mm-hmm.
There's absolutely something else going on. What's amazing is that on the surface of the moon, these were photographs taken in 1994 in full color by the Clementine mission. When you look at the objects that are there, these are circular things that have a hole in the center. They're identical to the DROPA things that are floating around the STS-76 satellite shuttle footage, and there's thousands of them on the surface of the moon. I thought these were impact craters or something else. Guess what? They're not. They're flying over the surface of the moon.
Do you think that there is any plant life on the moon?
Absolutely.
Why?
You see the full color footage that I have, the full color imaging I have from the moon. There's definitely some underbrush there that's green. It suggests plant life, yeah.
And what about intelligent life, intelligent extraterrestrial life? Do you think that's there?
Yes. That's the DROPAs, the circular things that have a hole in the middle like a donut. They're not part of the landscape. They're actually flying above.
And you think that that is intelligent extraterrestrial life?
Well, obviously, they're intelligent enough to exist on the surface of the moon or in the air above the moon.
Do you think the moon has an atmosphere?
Yes.
All right, now...
MIT scientists have released information that says, you know what, for a long time there, we had close to 100 miles of the moon's surface exhibiting a vapor that was on top of the moon that suggested water. And it crept along the, you know, the surface of the moon in a 48-hour period. So, you know, absolutely, man. There's a lot of things about the moon that have been suppressed from us. We're over here taking care of business. We're over here taking care of, wow, we got to worry about the economic crash. The economy is going to crash. We're going to be broke, blah, 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 blah. It's all made up. It's all bull, you know. It's all BS.
Okay. Now, Jose, I warned you earlier about your language. If we're going to continue the interview, you're going to have to comply with FCC rules about your language. You cannot use that language on this show. Okay?
I apologize. I won't. Keep my P's and Q's.
Okay. All right. We have a break coming up in about 30 seconds. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about, Jose, some of the things that you've seen in those photographs that to you, I think I heard you say, look like some machinery. And we'll get to that on the other side of this break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Are back. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla, and we're talking about this new movie of his called Moon Rising. Jose, let me ask you, as you looked at the colorized versions of those photographs, did you see anything on the surface of the moon that appeared to you to be machinery?
Absolutely. And, you know, Kevin, I have to say this for you and your listeners. I totally want to apologize for being so rude and swearing on your radio show. I would, you know, I get passionate about things. I really apologize. I will keep my P's and Q's in order. I apologize to you and your audience, okay? That was disrespectful on my part. Totally apologize.
Understood and accepted. Thank you.
Okay.
What about the machinery?
Listen, On the footage that I've looked over from the moon, I'm talking from Apollo 8 all the way to Apollo 17, I have found machinery up there that actually looks exactly like, you know, some of the tunnel boring machinery that we have here on Earth that, you know, that bores through, you know, they do tunneling for the Air Force and the military. And it's amazing because whatever's on the moon is doing the same type of thing. These are bigger than what is on Earth. I mean, you have to figure whatever we see on the moon is about 10 times bigger than what we see here on Earth. So it's just amazing that we're looking at, we're catching things on the surface of the moon that on Earth would be 10 times smaller.
All right. Now, do you think, Jose, that that machinery is ours and that it's us doing that? Or do you think that it's extraterrestrials that are there doing that? What do you think?
No, I think it's us.
Have you found
in the last 50 years or 60 years, whatever, that we've finally been there, that we have taken over the moon's surface? I think the extraterrestrials in the past maybe 10 years have decided, you know what, we're leaving. It's up to you to handle your own planet and your own moon as you see fit. This is why the Japanese and the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians and everyone else are going to the moon. They're getting free territorial rights. I think the extraterrestrials said, you know what, we're out of here. Go for it. But up until that time, you know, there were times that Vandenberg Air Force Base sent up missiles. And this was in the 80s, and I have evidence of this. I have disclosure people from the Disclosure Project that are talking about, look, man, we sent a nuclear a rocket with nuclear weapons to deploy on the moon's surface to show the Russians how strong we are and how much in control we are of the moon. But the extraterrestrials blew the rockets out of the sky before they got there. They said, there's no way we're going to allow you to be, you know, come over here and, you know, explode nuclear weapons on the surface of the moon. We're not going to let it happen. So the extraterrestrials blew out all the rockets that were sent out with nuclear warheads to explode on the moon.
Now, where did you get that information?
It was sent out by Vandenberg Air Force Base.
Yeah, where did you get that information?
From a Colonel Diedrichsen, who was one of the people that was involved in the project himself. He's part of the Disclosure Project, and he's deep into, you know, deep into the military aspects. So, you know, they would not lie.
All right. Now, you think that the extraterrestrials are gone from there now?
Either that, or they are there, and they're saying, okay, bring it. We've made a deal. But what's kind of bizarre, Kevin, is this. All right, first of all, the Japanese had this JAXA program. They went out in 2007 and shot the moon in high-definition film, which I go, man, we get to see the surface of the moon in high-definition photography. One of the things I noticed, though, all right, now you got to realize, Kevin, I'm a film and video editor, 30 years experience, and I've been looking at the moon footage that Apollo took. You have the full-color Earth, okay, full-color Earth, and this is by the Japanese high-definition, supposedly recording this in full color, and the moon is like a greenish-gray, but yet the Earth is full-color. And I go, you know what? I'm going to see if the sky area of this footage is in fact full of emulsion, because when you have to look at photography from the moon, or any photography, granted, you have the earthscape, and then you have the sky, all right?
Mm-hmm.
There's emulsion that occurs. In other words, there is a part of the photo or the film, even in high-definition footage, you have an emulsion aspect where the dark part is full of noise of some kind, okay?
Okay.
Well, guess what? The Japanese footage itself is phony. It's fake. It's a composite. You've got the full-color Earth, and they're giving you the same thing that NASA's given you, a gray or dark green surface texture to the moon, instead of giving you full color. They're not giving you the full truth. And when you find out that NASA and Japan and China, Iran, Iraq, Bulgaria, all these enemies of our states, even Korea, when they have adapted the same insignia of the NASA logo, it makes you wonder. They're all in cahoots. So there's a lot more to the picture than, you know, what's been resolved.
One of the things that's being discussed now about NASA is the possibility of merging it with the military and putting it under military command.
Well, you know, NASA has always been under the thumb of the Pentagon and the military, even though it's claimed to be a civil,
Well, it's supposed to be the civilian space program.
What's that?
It's supposed to be the civilian space program.
Yeah, yeah, civilian space program, but that's on the surface. The bottom line is they got their orders from the Pentagon and the military and the machinery that controls everything else. Otherwise, NASA would have brought forth all the mysteries and the mysterious findings that they had. They would have brought it to the public. But they have to do, you know, they have to answer to the Department of Defense, Pentagon, the NSA, and the White House, and everyone else that controls what you know and what you do not know. So a lot of the scientists, you know, you have to give it to the scientists there at NASA. They're stuck. They're probably going crazy, pulling their hair out of their head, saying, man, if we could only show the public what we really know. But everything goes to the Pentagon, Department of Defense, and, you know, the powers that be. So we'll never know.
You don't hold out any hope that we're ever going to get the straight story. Is that right?
No. All I can do, Kevin, is bring up the questions. And Moon Rising, I'm fixing to do a IMAX feature for large screen called The Planet Moon. And I'm going to present the moon in full color as never before seen in the human history, you know, of mankind. We've always been told the moon is gray, dusty, but I'm presenting the full color version of the moon that nobody has ever seen. But no, you know, the bottom line is, Kevin, we may or may never know the truth. The bottom line is we paid for this. You know, I saw a thing on Fox TV today. They're saying, you know, Obama is trying to, you know, make the budget right and everything else, and he's costing taxpayers. You know, what they seem to forget to announce is that, okay, yeah, taxpayers are going to pay for this, but they forget that taxpayers paid billions of dollars every year for NASA to give us the truth. Taxpayers paid dearly for the Iraq War. The Bush family, I mean, the Carlisle.
Yeah, the Carlisle Group.
And then the Cheney Corporation, man, you know, they all made the money off the taxpayers. So, you know, right now they're trying to slam Obama because of this minuscule, you know, $733 billion, whatever it is. It's like, wow, it's coming out of taxpayers' money. Guess what, people? Taxpayers have been ripped off by the Bush family and, you
know. Okay, well, let's stick with NASA and let's stick with Moon Rising. And not get into the politics of this.
And NASA, too. NASA has built Americans at least $8 billion a year for the last, what, 30, 40 years?
At $16 billion.
Why have they not given us the information that we need to seek? I mean, you know, they've smudged over objects that are on the surface of the moon. And
all right, we're into a break. We'll be back after this, and when we come back, I'll open the telephone lines for you if you have a question or comment for Jose Escamilla. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. He is a filmmaker, and he has done a number of films and a number of DVDs related to things that we talk about in our genre here. UFOs, rods, and now Moon Rising. Jose, before we bring the audience into this, let me ask you a quick question. What is it that got you interested in this world of strange and unexplained phenomena?
Well, you know, Kevin, back in the 60s, I was part of a rock and roll band called the Jesters. We used to tour around New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Colorado. And granted, you know, we were doing marijuana, we were smoking pot, we were drinking and everything else. But we had UFO encounters, and we never made light of it. I mean, it was just like, okay, we saw this thing and, you know, wrote it off. It wasn't until 1994 that after the Northridge earthquake, I went home, my hometown, which is Roswell, New Mexico, and I filmed 60 minutes of UFO activity in broad daylight right outside of Roswell, New Mexico, that started the whole thing. I mean, believe me, I didn't want to make it big in the UFO realm. I wanted to make it as a rock and roll star all my life, you know, but... Heck, man, what can I say? I'm world-renowned as the UFO guy, you know, and it's like, I didn't ask for this, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy, too, that when I start something, I have to finish it. You know, I'm a film and video editor for 30 years experience, and when I tell you this is an insect, it's an insect. When I tell you that's a bird, it's a bird. When I tell you it's a planet Venus, it's a planet Venus. A lot of people think that I'm hoaxing the Rods phenomenon, which I am not. There's a lot more to the Rods phenomenon than people think. I mean, I've got my critics, some debunkers out there trying to explain it away as a camera artifact, but I know better, you know.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to open up the telephone line, and we'll invite the audience, if they have a question or a comment for you, to give us a call. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. The telephone line is open. Now, if you are outside the United States, if you are outside of Canada, and you do not wish to use that telephone number, it will work from anywhere in the world. You can call us. But you don't want to pay that international long distance. What you can do is go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down, you will see a link that says flash message, okay? And whenever you find the flash message link, you click on that, and you can send me a flash message, an email, all right? Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello, Kevin. How you doing?
Outstanding.
Well, I have some major questions. You know, I've seen some of these pictures that he, the color pictures. I've been looking at those color pictures and everything on the moon.
Okay.
And I cannot see what he says is floating around the moon and his things. And I, you know, I've digged up and went on the internet and looked up that stuff. So that's one of the things there. I mean, I got major programs here. I can, you know, zoom in and stuff.
Okay. Jose, what about it?
That's fine. What photos are you looking at, though?
I downloaded 120 of them right so far, and I'm looking at a variety of them. There's number 40978.
Okay, but what photos are they, black and white or the full color?
They're full color.
From the USGS website?
From the USGS website, but you said I needed to look up, so that's what I did.
Yeah. Map a planet, right?
Map a planet, that's right.
Okay, let me give you one. Let me give you a shot to go to, and please give me a couple of minutes here. Go to this one shot, and if you can download it, try to do the situation where you can double or triple the size of the photo that you're looking at. Hold on 1 minute. I want to give you a number, which is an awesome shot. And I've got to tell you, it's really, you know, you can see the anomalies right there. Hang on 1 minute, please. So anyway, so what's your thing? So you don't see it, right?
No, I don't see it.
Okay.
I mean, it just, you know, I didn't know. I mean, I just, you know, I'm really into the UFOs and seeing stuff and looking at stuff there and everything, the UFOs.
Yeah, you know what you're going to have to do? I don't want to, I can't go into a whole diatribe here because we're live on radio. I don't want to take up enough of Kevin's time, but I'll tell you what. You email me at jose@tbln.com. Anyone out there listening, email me, jose@t, which is Tom, B as in Bob, L as in Larry, N as in Nancy.com. Email me, and I will guide you and show you the goods, okay? Is that fair enough, my friend?
That's fair enough. And then I'll call back to Kevin and give him my opinion on it because I'm one of Kevin's long listeners and everything like that.
Very good. Let's do it that way. That way we don't tax on the time here.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to our next call. And let's see, that would be on, there we go. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, Kevin.
Hello, hola, Jose. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing all right. You know, listening to this show tonight is a great show, by the way, despite the couple of bleeps there. But
thank you.
Listening to the show, it reminded me of something that came out last year. In late 2007, and last year, I don't know if you saw these Apollo 20 videos. Do you remember seeing those last year?
Yes.
You know, although they were written off as hoaxes, do you think that now that these Apollo 20 videos may actually have some credibility to them, especially the one that was on the moon?
Well, you know, I tried to contact the person that was releasing that stuff because I wanted to see the original footage. The best thing about me and my research is, I'm an investigator, is like, you know, you send me the stuff, I will check it out, and if it's real, it's real. But I requested the person to send me original footage, because that's the only way that I could tell if it's authentic or not. He has not submitted, and for obvious reasons, maybe he doesn't want to, but until I see the original footage, I can't tell you whether it was authentic or not.
And because there is no question that there has been a secret space program, there's been a lot of evidence to prove that. And also, talking about the extraterrestrial agenda, about them leaving our planet, our solar system, I got a good friend of mine, but he goes by the nickname Red Moon Bear. He states that we pretty much kicked their butts back in 1994, and that they haven't been around, or they've been around very, very rarely since 1994 when it comes to the extraterrestrial presence. So I would have to say that what's on the moon is likely some part of the space program. And also, if you remember, that fellow from England that hacked into the Pentagon computers, and he spoke about the off-planet commander or some sort, I think, if you guys remember that?
Yep, Gary McKinnon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, all I got to say about that is, like, you know, I hope he doesn't get prosecuted and put away, you know, for many years, because, you know, he doesn't deserve that. I mean, NASA is a public company. We're supposed to be able to be privy to what we pay for as taxpayers. So he probably found some things that, you know, they didn't want him to see under national security or whatever it may be. But, you know, at the same token, you know, I think it's unfair that he's going through what he's going through. But,
yeah, I have to totally agree with you. And I wish we can go into other talking about also about the New World Order, but I want to make room for some other callers. So I wish you guys, bid you guys a good night and great show tonight, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, folks. The telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. The telephone line is open, and we would be more than happy to have your questions or comments. Now, keep in mind, if you are outside of the USA or you are outside of Canada, you can send a flash message, all right? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Michigan.
Okay, Charles, what's on your mind this evening?
I just want to say that I feel a lot of disinformation is going on right now.
Okay.
I'm feeling it like...
What is it that... Okay, first let me ask you this question. When you say you feel like there's a lot of disinformation going on, do you mean that there's a lot of disinformation going on here on this show?
At the moment, yes.
Okay. Now, I thought that's what you meant. Okay, what is it that you think is disinformation?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go back to the beginning of the show.
Okay, but you have to make it kind of quick.
About the moon and lights on the moon, and I looked at the picture. It looks like a picture of Earth to me at night from a satellite, maybe. Probably a computer-generated picture.
Okay, are you talking about the picture that I put up on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. First of all, he's explained that. What that is the poster for the movie, and the moon has been colorized in that poster using Earth colors. It's a promotional piece. He's not saying that that's what the moon looks like.
Okay, so my next point is, how did we go from that to Nazis and the Bush administration? And from there we went on to...
I want to jump in there right now.
Okay, let Jose answer your question.
I got to apologize. You know, the film that everybody saw at my movie premiere, January 22nd, I felt that my film, I should bring it, all right? Usually when I do my movies, I present the whole scenario, okay? Because I want to tell the truth and bring it. But, you know, I made a mistake. The Nazi-Bush connection I'm taking out of my film. I found out that a lot of the buyers that are interested in presenting it on Sci-Fi Channel, History Channel, as long as I got the Bush-Nazi connection, which is all fact. Believe me, I'm not a sellout. I mean, I put it all in there. This is all...
Okay, but clarify for us why it was in there.
Well, because it was in there in the first sense because I wanted to make a movie that brought it all, that brought you the whole scenario about NASA and everything else. But you know what? I made a mistake, and I've taken it out of the film, and I'm not a sellout. Believe me, guys, please know that I'm not a sellout, and I'm not adhering to the powers that be. It's just that I've got to sell this film. I got a lot of money involved, and I got to recoup my investment, my investors. So eventually I'm going to come out with the total underground copy of the director's cut that was not released. But for now, all I got to say is this. You know, I apologize. I am not blasphemizing the Bush family or anything like this. They're not at fault. They're part of the whole puppet string that controls them. I mean, they're controlled by everyone else. So all I got to say is this, and I apologize for bringing it up, but the NASA thing and the Nazi connection, I'm taking out of the equation.
Okay, but I think the point that you made in your film, at least what I got when I saw your movie, was that one of the reasons we're not getting information and being told is because of that Nazi connection, right?
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, you know me as well as anyone else. I'm not out here to try to blasphemize the Bush family or anyone else. I mean, I just presented the evidence as it is.
Okay. I think you said your name is Charles, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Charles, you have another question or comment?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm still not really following the show tonight. I mean, I've listened to guys like Edgar Mitchell and just amazing people, and it's just not adding up for me tonight. But
all right, well, let me ask you this. And I'm
going to piece this all together by the end of the night. I'm hoping for a good monologue from Kevin at some point.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions before you go. Have you ever heard of Project Paperclip?
No.
That's a real, honest-to-God project of this government at the end of World War II, where we scooped up a whole bunch of Nazi scientists and sort of kind of baptized them using a euphemism and said, okay, now you're Americans. We brought them here. And one of those people was Wernher von Braun. Ever heard of him?
I think he made shaving razors or something.
No, he made NASA.
Oh, come on, dude. Wernher von Braun was the head of the space program. He's the guy that headed NASA. I mean, we had a lot of the Nazi war criminals that were heads of divisions of NASA, some of them who created atrocities of the Jewish people back in, you know, in the 40s. These guys,
so, see, that's the connection.
Scientists that developed, like, the Saturn rocket, the boosters that put men in space. I mean, they, in their own right, served their purpose in our space program. The bottom line is, when you look at the whole spectrum of scenario, it was not cool. But whatever, you know, it's past history.
Well, but folks do need to know that that's a fact of history. That we did have Project Paperclip. They did bring these guys over.
Look it up.
Yeah, they brought them over. And in fact, Charles, after you hang up, keep the show going so you can hear it, but on another browser window, look up Project Paperclip.
Yes. It's all there. You know, it's all part of the...
It's not really my field of interest. My field of interest is the holographic universe and everything else.
Well, Charles...
this is kind of elementary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Charles, if you want to know the history about the space program, which, whether you care or not, it does affect you eventually. It affects all of us. And the history about NASA and everything else involved affects all of us from way back when, because we're...
Well, minting a penny that costs 2 cents to make affects me, too.
All right. Well, you know, the bottom line is we've got a space program that has been... taken over by people that are undesirables, and we've never been told the truth. All I'm doing with my movies, and
so what are we going to do about it?
You have to understand.
Okay, Jose, he says, what are we going to do about it?
I'm not making a movie that's trying
to. What are we going
to
do about it?
I'm not trying to make anything of it. What my films are is I present you with the evidence of what's there. And it's up to you whether you want to make anything of it. I'm just showing you what is there, what's been there, and that's it. I'm not trying to make change.
Okay.
I'm just presenting the evidence as it is, man.
All right, Charles, thanks for the call, man. I got to move along to another call.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right. Lots and lots of people don't know about Project Paperclip. It's a very real project. That's how we got Wernher von Braun, was Project Paperclip. Wernher von Braun was a high-ranking Nazi officer in charge of developing V-1 missiles, rockets, that were used against the British. All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I was wondering if your guest knows a couple of authors. It's George Leonard. He was a telescope guy, whatever. And he witnessed flying saucers flying over the moon and around the Tranquility, Lake of Tranquility, where we was landing. And he wrote a book about it.
And what was his name?
Marcy Chandler. He was an insider of NASA. He's got a lot of patents. He helped them build a lot of stuff. And he was finding out that they was... hiding all this stuff, so What happened was, actually, there is documentation out there. They have an article. It's called article R277, which reveals a lot of interesting and hidden information on it. I just wonder if you know anything about that.
No, I don't. I know of the names. I just never have delved deep into their research and everything else, but I know the names.
Terry, you mentioned George Leonard, is that right?
Yes.
And the name of his book, is his book the one that someone else is on our moon?
I think so.
If it is, I have that book. I just don't remember for sure the author's name.
I did that name of it, but it could be. I don't have the name of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call.
And also, they have been witnessing, they call it Plato. It's a cradle, Plato, where it's literally a hotspot for flying saucers just up to this date.
Right.
And also, I wondered if you know anything about back in 1959 when the moon turned to black and we were unable to observe it for quite a while. What might have been behind that, if you know anything? And that's all I have. I'll listen off the line.
All right. Thanks for the call. I had not heard about that, about the moon turning black and we could not observe it, other than perhaps an eclipse.
Hey, I was 9 years old in those days. The only thing important in my life was playing baseball and whatever.
All right. All right, the telephone line is open, 623-237-3814. And if you have a question or comment, please feel free to call in. And as you have observed, not everyone who calls in agreeing with what's being said. That's okay, too. It's called a talk show. And one of the hallmarks of this talk show is that we do believe in freedom of speech. If you have an opinion, if you have a question, please feel free when you call in to tell us what it is. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Doc from Arkansas.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, Doc.
Long time no speak.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've been in and out in the hospital, buddy. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, the question is now, you know, okay, you know about, you talked back a while back about the state the Nazis had the space.
You got 30 seconds to break.
Okay, the whole thing I'm getting to is it makes me wonder. Okay, if he's saying that we have our machines up there working on the deal, is our government using that technology from Hitler's time, that space shuttle that they done? It's supposed to be in their UFO, and I was wondering about that. If you ever heard anything about that, if Josie knows anything about that.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get him to answer that when we come back from break, and that'll be our first question up when we come back. We will be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. We are back, and we're talking with Jose Escamilla. Now, the question was asked, Jose, before we went to break, if the machinery and stuff that you saw in these photographs, is that Nazi technology that, you know, because there's all those rumors out there about the Nazis having built a saucer-shaped craft and successfully flew it and so forth. And then, as far as I know, that hasn't been absolutely confirmed, so I'll still say it's a rumor. But, okay, has that just evolved to the point that that technology is what's being used on the moon, or is it extraterrestrial technology that you've observed there?
Okay, the bottom line is, I have no idea where the technology came from. I can't say it's Nazi. I can't say it's extraterrestrial. All I can say is that it's an anomalous type of phenomenon that exists on the surface of the moon. Whether the Nazis did it or the United States or Obama or whoever, name it, I can't prove that. So all I'm doing is presenting evidence of something that's there. And it is anomalous. It is a structure. Where it came from and originated, I have no clue. And that's the way I do my films. I just present you with what's there. I can't point the finger at anybody.
All right. Now, there are loads of people who are really into UFOs and looking at these anomalous features on the moon and anomalous features on Mars, etc. And so they're not what you would call skeptics, and yet sometimes you get three or four people together and look at one photograph, and one person can see all kinds of things that the next person right next to him says, I just don't see that. How do you address that when someone we already had one caller that sort of brought that up. How do you address that?
Well, you know, Kevin, here's what I've done with Moon Rising. You know, you were there at the premiere, and I presented the film in its raw state.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the very first opening part was too doggone long, man. I mean, you know, I thought everybody would catch it, but they didn't catch it. I mean, they saw this, you know, 6-minute music video that had all these anomalies in it, and I was hoping everybody would get it, but they didn't. And, you know, a lot of the people that commented on it says, man, Jose, you know, we watched a video here that just, we know there was stuff there, we just didn't know what to look at. So what I've done is I've condensed it and I've made it plain to see that, look, here's where this anomaly is. Here's the other anomaly. And you have to walk people through this scenario because a lot of people will not see it the way we see it. I'm too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're too close to it, Kevin. And, you know, a lot of people are going to come away from this film and say, you know, I thought I saw something, but whether it's an alien thing or a man-made thing or a German thing or whatever you know, we don't have the answers. And that's exactly what I'm trying to convey. We don't know where it came from. All I'm telling you is that there's things up there that should not be there. If the moon is a piece of rock that, you know, just, you know, impact craters and moon dust and gray and all that, fine. But we have a moon that's full color, allegedly teeming with life back in 1994, self-illuminating things. I mean, there's things on the moon that you just can't question that, man, how is that illuminated?
Well, you have astronauts also.
There's no reflections. It's not a lens flare. This thing is illuminating itself by itself, and it has structure, and it looks like a oil refinery. My gosh, what can you take from that? So what I've done, Kevin, is I've redone the film and put it into a perspective for the, how do you say it, the layman out there, the mainstream film viewers, to give them an impression, look here, look there, look everywhere. We don't know what these things are. We have no explanation. If we had an explanation, we would not be presenting it. It's up to NASA to bring forth and explain to us why they've covered it up. That's it. Yeah.
Well, there are statements from astronauts as well, Jose, that I'm trying to remember which astronaut specifically, but there are statements, published statements, where the astronaut talked about there being these pastel colors on the moon.
Yeah.
And
you know what, Kevin? Whether or not civilizations exist there anymore, we can tell that back in 1994, when the full color photos were taken by the Clementine mission, which, you know, there was 1.8 million photos taken, of which I've only downloaded close to maybe 5 or 6 thousand, you know, or no, 5 or 600 of 1,000. I mean, 1.8 million photos, mm-hmm. Hello, and they're full color. I'd like to see them all. And, you know, NASA and the Navy have access to this stuff, and they're smudging it, covering up things that we need to see what's there. I mean, you saw that one object that was 10 times bigger than the, you know, than all of Los Angeles. And they covered it up. They airbrushed over it. We managed to get a forensics expert to try to dig through the layers of the smudging, and we come to find out there may be a large humanoid that's either working on the ship or repairing the ship, but the ship is 10 times larger than Los Angeles, California. So if this is, in fact, a humanoid, that sucker was huge. He would have had been at least 5 or 6 miles tall, which is, you know, out of the question as far as we're concerned. But until NASA presents us with a full, unblemished shot of this object, we will never know. We can only surmise.
Yeah, it does have a very anomalous shape to it. Now, let me ask you, because Dr. Ken Johnston, Kenneth Johnston, who used to work at NASA, said that, you know, he saw photographs of huge buildings on the moon. And then NASA ordered all the films destroyed and so forth, but he still had some of the pictures. So let me ask you this. If there are huge buildings on the moon, and if NASA is smudging those out, the next logical question, of course, is why? And I bring it back to what I asked earlier in the show. So what if there was an intelligent race of beings on the moon at one time? So what? I guess what I'm getting at, I don't understand why that makes any difference to NASA. I think it would make some difference to some religions, but why should NASA care? If that's what you find, that's what you find. Whatever is, is.
Well, NASA is beholden to the Pentagon and the Department of Defense and the powers that control NASA. We are the minions. We're the guys that are in the fog. There's guys like you and me, Kevin, that we go out and try to seek out the truth. Granted, I've been given liberty enough to present the goods. You saw what I presented
mm-hmm. at
the premiere. I mean, I didn't pull any punches. I just laid it out as it is.
Yeah, but why would they care? I mean, there's got to be some part of this that we just didn't get yet as to, so, you know, the answer to so what? If that's what there is, that's what there is. I mean, there was a time when Europeans didn't believe gorillas existed. But once some Europeans brought some pictures back, well, yeah, okay, well, they do exist. Okay, so what? There they are.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this. You saw what went down at my premiere. There was a lot of underhanded crap that happened. There was a couple of spooks there, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something, Kevin. Let me ask you something. I mean, you've been full circle with everything. Why are they allowing me to present the goods? Or do you think they're not?
Well, I think they are allowing you to present the goods probably because there is a part, there are some of the agencies and some of the people in agencies that want disclosure, I think also it would draw way too much attention for them to shut you down.
So you think I'm safe? I hope so.
Well, I don't see why not. Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't be safe.
I'll tell you, sometimes I walk out of my apartment, I get into my car, and I go, oh, man, if my car explodes, I'm done for. You know, sometimes I worry about those kind of things, but it's like, it's a paranoia that comes with the territory, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
People don't realize this.
Let's take this call, and then I'll talk to you about that very thing and how I handle it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, my name's Y'all, and I'm from Caruthersville, Missouri.
All right. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Good to see you again. Hey, look, he's asking why would they want to hide those buildings and stuff? And, you know, I've been thinking, see, if they hide those buildings and they make us think we can't get there, wouldn't nobody want to leave? But see, if we knew we could get there, we might want to just build us rocket and go. They might want to keep us here.
Could be.
They can keep us.
Could be.
You know what's funny is that all the stuff that I've been able to present in Moon Rising, all the footage and all the still pictures, they're blatantly there. They've hidden nothing, really. They haven't blurred anything. And this is in full color. The objects, the structures, the towers, they're all right there. You know, so I don't know. Maybe they're allowing us to finally release this or whatever the next step is. But all I got to say is that sometimes I get the paranoia thing going, but most of the time I say, you know what? My movie, I'm not blasphemizing nobody. I'm just presenting stuff that's there.
Mm-hmm.
NASA's given it to us. It's right there. We just never knew where to look. Believe me, I didn't know there were full-color photographs of the moon's surface. I've heard of false color.
Mm-hmm.
False color is the thing where they do an infrared and ultraviolet representation of the moon's surface, which is, like, totally ludicrous. But the natural color of the moon is now available on the USGS website, of all things. I would have expected to see this on NASA or JPL. And out of the blue, I found this stuff. John Lear actually found this stuff back in 2006, presented this stuff. So it's been new to me the last month. And all I'm doing is I'm putting it into a perspective so that people can see the full color, natural color of the moon.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jose Escamilla. And, Jose, before we went to the break, I had said, I said, okay, well, let's take this caller first, and then I'll address that, you know, how I handle those kind of thoughts. Because, you know, you've produced a film. I do this show every night. And here's the deal. My philosophy I got from my dad, and it is you have to live till you don't. And so I just go on and live. And I'm fully aware that at any time someone decides they want to take me out, it can be done. I'm not invincible. But
And, you know, we're not infallible.
Mm-hmm. And
you know what, Kevin, here's the deal. I'm doing a trilogy. I'm doing three movies. My first one was UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, Part 1. UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, Part 2 is Moon Rising. You know, I took an interest on doing things on the moon when I did my first film. I go, man, there's some amazing things happening with the moon, and I want to check it out, you know? And I never thought I'd get here,
mm-hmm.
where I'm at. My third film is called UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied. This is part of the trilogy. The last film I'm going to do, and it's called The Human Record. And the human record is about this. It's about the human recorded history since the beginning of time until now. I mean, I'm going to have some of the guys that are like me. These are the unsung heroes that go out in the field and film UFOs, all right, that all of us talk about. Jaime Maussan, Santiago Ituria, myself, and other people, we don't tip the iceberg. These are the guys that are out there rolling up their sleeves, sitting there looking for UFOs, and they film the stuff. And that's and it's gone back to the historical record from the beginning of time, as we know it. I mean, the Aboriginal artwork and all that stuff. These were the recorded historical record of UFOs. And there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye. It's not just about a cave drawing or a petroglyph. There was a lot more involved. I mean, this is what that third film is that I want to do. After I do that, Kevin, I want to do a thing on Roswell rods. Of course, I want to do a film that dispels the myth that rods are nothing but bugs, you know, caused by camera artifacts. I got so much evidence that I've kept close to the hip that I will finally release. But my biggest thing right now, aside from Moon Rising, is a feature film that I want to do for the IMAX film format, the large screen format, and it's called The Planet Moon. And I have an accumulation of some of the most incredible color moon shots. I think the moon is not a satellite. I think it's a planet. It's the closest thing we have to us. And in 2007, I believe it was, there were a lot of scientists that got together, and they were deciding whether or not to call the moon a planet or just a satellite. And they never made up their minds, so they left it as, we're going to call it the moon. But you know what, Kevin? I think the moon is a planet. It's the closest celestial body that I think at one time had civilizations existing there. If not right now, I mean, we may have men and women, and possibly children, that exist on the moon that are from Earth, that are developing whatever it is that they want to develop in the future. But I think the moon is not a satellite, it's a planet. So I want to do a IMAX feature film called The Planet Moon. And people can go there, theplanetmoon.com. And take it as it may, I don't know it all. I never pretend to. All I do is I present the evidence as it presents itself. So that's where it is.
We only have just a few minutes left before we hit the end of the show here. So let me ask this. If there was a civilization, or if there were civilizations on the moon at some point in the past, what happened? And I know I'm asking you to speculate, but what do you think happened that caused them to cease to be civilizations living on the moon?
I don't know. That's a question that I always ask myself, too. All of a sudden, the Chinese, the Japanese, Iran, Iraq, they're all going to the moon suddenly. Whereas, you know, for like since 1972, no one was allowed. The astronauts said themselves, we were told to stay the heck away from the moon. So, I don't know, suddenly, maybe these alien races or whoever it was that was up there decided, all right, let's go have it, you know, or let's allow you guys to come here. But it's kind of bizarre to me, really.
Do you think that there's any possibility at all that we are going to get any level of open disclosure from our government about UFOs and extraterrestrials, as the British, the Canadians, the French, the Brazilians, the Mexicans have begun doing with their UFO files?
I have been told, I mean, I met with Stephen Bassett and all these other guys that are pushing for disclosure. Obama is allegedly the disclosure president. I mean, he's got Petraeus and other people that possibly could bring forth the final disclosure about an alien civilization that lives among us. We won't know. I don't know the answer. All I can say is I can keep pushing the envelope, presenting the evidence, along with some of my compatriots. I mean, you've got James Fox out there. You got the lady that did the Arizona, you know, the...
Yeah, Dr. Lynn Kitai.
Dr. Lynn Kitai, yeah. You got all of us out there pushing the envelope, presenting the evidence as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not we will finally get disclosure, it's way beyond my comprehension. All we can do is just present the evidence as they present themselves, and we just continue going on until somebody, maybe Obama, will say, hey, Jose and Lin Kaiti and, you know, James Sox had it right all along. And here it is, guys. They were right. Here it is, and there are aliens among us. We won't know until somebody on the higher-ups presents it. All we can do, Kevin, and you're part of the mix, my friend, all we can do is just present the evidence as it presents itself, and that's it. Can't go any further, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. Listen, how is Moon Rising available for sale?
Moon Rising, people, is finally going to be made available mid-March. Actually, March 25th, 2009, which is my birthday. I will become 58 years old on that day. And I figured, you know what, guys? I'm going to release Moon Rising on my birthday.
So it's going to be released as what, DVD?
2009. I'm going to release it on DVD mm-hmm. and on pay-per-view on moonrising-themovie.com. And hopefully it won't wind up on YouTube and Google for free from there on because I need to pay my investors back. But at the same token, I don't care.
Are we going to see this in the movie, in the movie houses, in the cinemas?
I'm still editing on the film, Kevin. I had to change a lot of things. I'm interviewing some people this next weekend. And it takes time to produce a film, you know. Oh. I've been working on it for 3 years. So,
okay, are we ever going to see this, like, in the theaters?
It'll be released forever, finally.
Okay, Jose, listen up.
Who holds barred, man?
Listen, are we ever going to see it in the theaters?
That's what I've been pushing for, and I pray to God we get a theatrical release. But you know what, Kevin? We did put it in a theater, and I'm going to present it to the Academy for an Academy Award nomination. And this will be the first time a UFO film will be presented to the Academy of Arts and Sciences for an Academy Award for Best UFO Documentary or whatever.
So. All right. We're out of time. Jose, stay on the line with me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.